welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Spooky Greg. Greg, I'm very glad to be with you on this Halloween. I don't know that, you know, sometimes you need different music, you need a different way of looking at things, and the problem with most of us is we don't go there, we don't listen to our life in a different way. So I was thinking maybe, just maybe, we would look at ourselves in a different light today. Maybe as something a little more interesting than the common way in which I open up my radio program here. There, something like that. Something that's real. Something really spooky. On Sunday, October 30th, 2011. Ooh, boy. Ooh, I like that so much. Welcome to Aspire. I'm going to be offering to you some insights, some playful insights. It's Halloween, kind of close to it. Tomorrow's Halloween, but we'll rock and roll on it today. And I hope that some of the things I have to offer you will be of great service to you, maybe help you look at your life from a different point of view. Here's the first question. Greg, I've read some of your commentaries and listened to some of your podcasts and video casts. And you talk about what it means to be real. What is real? How would I know when I'm being real? Kenneth. That's a very good question. You know, I don't talk about being real as much as I talk about being authentic. And to me, real and authentic can be two different things. I can be very real about being a jerk. About being angry and hostile, and, you know, I have my truth, and I want my truth to be heard. It isn't, you know, truth is not my. You can't say my truth, because the minute I put my in front of truth, it is no longer truth. It's just my strong opinion that I want to believe is true. People are crazier than hoot owls these days, probably more so than ever, because there's so many of us and we get to see our neurosis and psychosis and our megalomania that we just go off the deep end. You say, I've read some of your commentaries. You really need to imbibe my commentaries. They're not just to be read. Most people just merely read them and take them for their intellectual value. But actually, that's not what they're really about. They're about far more than just intellectual values. They're about something trying to happen to you in a very unusual way. And you say, I talk about what it means to be real. Basically, Kenneth, I talk about what it means to be authentic, to be authentically loving, to be authentically kind, to be present. Not present like what we would think of in terms of time, but to be in this consciousness, this flow of consciousness that is always changing and growing and moving into new and more beautiful places. So that's really what it all is about. You say, what is real? Real to most people is what they can sense with their ego, with their pride, with their vanity. Real is what they sense with their body and their mind. That's real to most people. That does not make it authentic. It may make it appear to be real to me in my vanity and pride, in my ego, in my senses. And you say, well, what else do I have? You have far more than that. You have, Kenneth, this thing called a consciousness, a being. You and I are more a being that live without time. We live in the gap, in the pauses, the spaces between our thoughts and our beliefs and our breath even. And if I am not a wise person, if I live according to, as a matter of fact, my thinking, and I only find that I am drawn to the things that appeal to my body and my beliefs, then I don't have much to offer. I don't have the love in my heart. There is far more to us than what we believe in. Real? How do I know? You say, how do I know when I'm real? You're real when you're in your opinions, when you're in your truth, when you're in your vanity, When you and I are in our fear and our anger, that's when we are real. But to be authentic, that is when consciousness arises and there is no more Greg or there's no more Kenneth. Where we are not looking at our life as a matter of routine. We're not looking at our life as a matter of right over wrong, good over bad, fair over unfair. Where we are really living our life as a manner of our own spirit and not as this idea of who and what we are based on desire, ambition, pride, and what we believe is going on based on our senses. Nothing is happening the way I think it is. Absolutely nothing. Now, if I choose to live like everything is happening the way I believe it's happening, then I'm going to miss a great deal of my life. Sad to say, that's where most people are. They miss a great deal of their life because they're just not much interested in anything other than what makes them comfortable. So, Kenneth, if you want to know when you're real, you're going to have to step aside from emotion, passion. You're going to have to insert some time of silence, meditation, energy work. You can do energy work. I've loads of meditations on my website, and you can go and look at some of them. I would start off with, though, some catharsis. The theme of my newsletter message of the month for October and all the discourses is on the whole effort of catharsis. People can't meditate because they are angry, because there's too much of what's real in them is anger and fear and pride. So you're going to have to start off with some energy work with catharsis, letting go of hurt, pain, and sorrow, pride, vanity, and ego. That is very, very important. Then you can move on to other things, like other meditations I have, Tibetan pulsing meditations, where you're doing breath work through your chakras and feeling the tones that are going on. These tones are very real in the background of the meditations. They are the resonation of the universe of life, and they correlate to different forms of consciousness, not different thoughts, different forms of consciousness that bring us to the ultimate place of having a sense of being, a sense of great love. But it means sacrifice. And Kenneth, that's what makes it so difficult. We aren't willing to sacrifice anger, pride, and fear. We love our hate, and we love to hate the right things because it makes us feel so self-righteous about being so hateful about the right things. We don't really see what we're doing to ourselves. What can I say, Kenneth? I don't know how old you are, if you're past the prime of a practice, but most people can't do a spiritual practice because they're so busy cultivating self-righteous hatred that they can't feel the energy anymore of a great love that lives within. So you ask me, how do I know when I'm real? Don't be real, be authentic. It might be real to be angry. It might be real to be hostile. It might be real to be vengeful, prideful. That might be real to you. But to be authentic means that I must find my real core. It means I must find what it is that is really going on within me and not imagine I know what's going on within me. And when I am willing to go to my authentic place, my authentic core, and find love, and find that Gregory doesn't need to take center stage, that he can't be the love of his own life. Once I understand that, then something moving has happened. Something significant, authentic. Give up wanting to be real. Become authentic with yourself. I'm not mincing words here, Kenneth. There's a vast difference. And I hope that I was able to convey that to you. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. Yeah. Very hard for people, basically, to deal with that, that whole deal of right over wrong, good over bad. You know, people don't want to meditate. Let's face it. People generally find meditation to be difficult, arduous, and useless. And I understand that, but it's not useless. It's only as arduous as I want to be willful and mean-spirited. And most people think their emotions make them what they are, their feeling, and it isn't true at all. All of that stuff is the painful aggravation of human stupidity that we get involved in. And we've all done it to a certain degree and to a large degree. Hence, the world is the way it is. The next one comes from Harris, and he lives in Los Angeles, listens to our radio program via my website at aspire.org. And you can go there and listen to old programs that I've done. I'm supposed to say previous programs. I think they're old. Or future programs, even. They're all there. Boy, this is a hard one to read. I am so crazy. I believe in crap. Now what do I do? Well, what kind of crap do you listen to, or what kind of crap do you believe in? Most people are full of it, too. I mean, I love your question. Oh, so you're freaked out by this. You say, I believe in crap. Now what do I do? Well, you know, it's like the great teachings of Henny Youngman. He used to have a joke that I always loved. Doc, it hurts when I do that. Doctor says, don't do that. Plum, plum. You know, the stuff that we think, the pain, the sorrow that we have, what I call the residue of my hatred and my emotions, they don't go away easy. Because they're so deeply connected to fear, and fear is the core of what most people live in. So, Harris, let me give you something here. As long as I continue to live in my fear, afraid of what will happen, afraid I won't survive, afraid I'll lose my job, afraid that I'll die, afraid of ill health, afraid of the future, afraid of what's going to happen because it's going to cause me inconvenience, pain, hurt, sorrow, whatever. As long as I am afraid of all of that, there will be hatred, because hate is the bad breath of my fear. So as long as I'm in that, I'm going to have definite difficulties with my life, real difficulties with my life. So you have come to believe in what you call crap, which is probably a mixture of a lot of things that do nothing but emotionally make you miserable and unhappy. Well, welcome to the club of humanity. That's where most of us are in our human thinking. But it can change. It doesn't have to stay this way, and you don't have to be that way. How can you change? Let it go. Go to the core of what is the source of all of this poop in you. Just go to the core of it. You'll see it has something to do with your DNA, how you were raised in that DNA, how you were cultivated to believe and think and go about your daily life. You will see it has to do with all of that. It has nothing to do with the reality of your life, the substance of your living, or what is really trying to happen in your daily life, which is love. Love, 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 love. Not the love that emotions offer, not the love that most people think of as love, but real love. The reason we are miserable and the reason we have such great difficulty in our life isn't because we're bad. It's because we're trying to fight love. Because real love has nothing to do with what I want. Has nothing to do with what I want. So I fill myself up with beliefs and theories and concepts of right and wrong, good and bad, which always lead to something like hatred and fear and anger. And that becomes the way of my life. Nothing more, nothing less. That is the way of my life. Then I have what? I have nothing. I have nothing that is meaningful. I have nothing that is kind. I have nothing. And I'm full of, as you put it here, crap. So with that, I have to live my life in a different way. If you really want to let it all go, you will. But if it plays an integral part in your personality, in your ego, in your vanity, your pride, if it plays an integral part of how you communicate and how you even think of yourself, then it's going to be very, very, very difficult to do. And I'm saying very difficult. Most people can't do it, won't do it, and refuse to believe it can be done. So I don't know you, Harris. I don't, you know, I've never met you, obviously, so how would I know what you're capable of? But if you start to look at it from the point of view of self-righteousness, you won't be able to let it go. But if you can let it go according to the point of view of compassion, if you can see that consciousness is more important than what you think and what you hold to mentally and emotionally, then you're in a different place. Look for the pauses, the gaps, the spaces between your thoughts. Keep looking and looking and looking for it. Don't be looking for more religion, theory, politics, and belief. Don't go there. You go into those things, you're going to find you're filled with the same stuff that you're writing me about. You're going to find yourself just overwhelmed with pain and sorrow, hopelessness and despair, and depression will be your way. And that's where most people go because they're easily sucked into what they hate. Buddha said, hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. That's what he said. He is right, he is correct, and it is perfect. Unless I am willing to go towards love, my hate will bring me only to the things that I hate. Hate will never change. Hate doesn't make hate go away. Over and over and over, I have tried to teach this. You are never punished for your anger, your hate, you are punished by it. Every time you start living in, as you call it, the crap, and you start living your life around it, there's going to be ugly consequences. They're your own. They're not the world's. They're not mine. They're not God, whatever that is. It is all about you. It is your pain, your sorrow, your anger, your hatred. People dislike me because I ask them to look at themselves. I ask them to look at what they're doing to themselves. They don't want to see that. They just want to believe that their crap, as you put it, don't stink. It does stink. And the world is not going to change because we have a new Senate, a new Congress, a new president, a new pope, or any of that. It will change when you and I decide that love is more important than the agenda of our hatred, our vengeance, our anger. Think about it, eh? And please forgive me. Namaste. Very difficult for people to let go of their hatred. I like that question. I'd like to meet Harris one day. Maybe I will. The last one comes from Frances, and I don't know where she lives. She just says, would you please answer this on your radio program? Do we ever really grow up? I've tried. It just doesn't seem possible, Francis. Francis, there is a strong DNA attachment we have to our body, and our body has over us until we really commit to an authentic spiritual practice. Until then, we have very little, if anything, that will help us. But be that as it may, you have to understand, as long as you remain emotional, you're going to remain immature. Now, people don't want to admit they're all emotional. I'm getting all emotional, you know. Remember, you know, Fat Bastard in, what's that movie? I forget. It was very funny. Oh, Goldmember or whatever that was. As long as you remain emotional, and as long as you think that your emotions are your feelings, you and I are going to remain immature. Now, when you're done with that and you really are serious about growing up, which means letting go of what your family values were, then you will start to mature. Family values have to do with society. They have to do with fitting into society and survival. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. So if you're into that, if that's the only thing that matters to you, what could I possibly say to you that would help you? I don't think anything I would say could ever help you. So you're going to have to let go of the influence your emotions have upon you. And you're going to have to individuate from them. If you don't, you will just wrap your life around emotion, never give it any consideration, which is what most people do, and then put the spin on it that you're a loving, caring, you know, person, when you're really not. Just emotional, and you can be spurred on by hate. Let me give you something here, Francis. And I always trick people with this, and I can do it over and over and over again without a blink, and most people fall for it all the time. When somebody says to me, I know what real love is, I ask them, what is the opposite of love, do you think? And they'll say hate. Invariably, they'll say hate. And if they say that, then I know they're being emotional, that they don't know what love is. Love has no opposite. Please understand that. Love has no opposite. So if you think the opposite of love is hate, you're lost. That means you haven't grown up. Growing up is very difficult for all of us. Men have a real hard time growing up because we've got all this testosterone in us because we live from our DNA all the time. So it's all about fighting and being better than. And women, oh boy, they're manipulative. They're always looking for something to manipulate a man with. And so with that, they don't like the idea of having to be out in the world and fight for survival, and they want to marry a man that has money so they don't have to do all that. And it just goes on and on. I know it's stereotyping, but you know what? Like it or not, it's true. And that's what men and women do. And men accept it, and they just buy their women, and that's the way it works. But you see, that's not growing up. Do we ever grow up, you ask? Hardly. And the ones that do are looked at as idiots and fools. What was it Lao Tzu said? I look like a dunce to those who simply don't know the Tao. You're going to look like an idiot to most people. Highly opinionated, some kind of jerk or whatever. To most people who just don't mature out of their emotions. So you're going to have to be willing, Francis, to spend some time alone. Because once you mature out of your emotions, you're going to have to keep very quiet about what you've achieved and not lay that on people. And you're going to find at times that people are draining you of your energy because they are so emotionally addicted to their own ideas and ideals and their emotional patterns that you're going to be able to be around them for a while, but not for a long while. It just goes on and on and on like this, and it never changes. You're going to have to want love more than wanting what you think appeases your emotions and passions. And to do that means you and I are going to have to definitely grow up. And that's difficult. Great question, Francis. Thank you for writing and listening. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, you know the drill. If you have a comment, a question, or something you want me to answer, I'd be honored. I really would. Please come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And go take a look at the main page there. You'll see contact in the upper right-hand corner. Just click on that and come fly with me. Wasn't that a song that Frank Sinatra sang? Anyway. There you go. And if you haven't gotten your year-end DVD, I hope that you will go to the website at aspire.org and order it. It's absolutely free. I think you'll like it. It's a DVD about the Sufi story, a very beautiful Sufi story, about a man who only wanted to do a great deal of good without ever really knowing it. Very, very beautiful story. You can order it via the website at aspire.org, and you'll see it pass by in a little banner, and just click on it and go for it. It is Halloween tomorrow, and I would be remiss if I didn't do this one for all of you. Be well, be happy, and have a wonderful, wonderful Halloween. Please forgive me. Oh, namaste. Something weird.
Oh, yeah. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
I am. I'm very. Oh, I shouldn't be afraid. I've listened to that Greg Penn guy.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Yeah, he's brave. I'm a chicken. What are you dressing up as this year?
Seeing things happen to your head. Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
An invisible man sleeping in your bed. Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! Yeah, baby!
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
I am? Yeesh. All right, I am. I admit it.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
If you're all alone, and you got the phone, and you call.
Ghostbusters! Yeah, baby!
I ain't afraid of no ghost. I heard that he likes the girls. I ain't afraid of no ghost.
I don't like this guy. What happens to the chicken hearted here?
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! Ooh, that was good, wasn't it? Happy Halloween.